Pencils down, everybody. Behave yourselves because it's time to listen to this great podcast. My name is Cyril, and keep listening to our show or I'll come to your house.
Yeah, I'm not even laughing this time, but I'm Jenny, and thanks for coming to our podcast.
The fact that she's not laughing is the funny part.
All right. So I feel like we need to start today with a quote. And before we started the show, Cyril had introduced me to probably my life motto that I'm sort of just going to institute for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it is a quote from the famous and amazing Florida rapper.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So we've got that going for us, mm-hmm. You know, both from Florida. And it, you know, Rick Ross is his name, and his favorite and his quote is, "The most I used to do for exercise was stand up and count the money." You know what I'm saying?
That's all he did.
Right. So obviously that is a clear reflection of my thug life.
Right. Yeah.
Growing up in the hood mm-hmm. of suburbs and stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the part of Miami that I'm sure you grew up in was about as hood as you could get, right?
Oh, it be all about the gangsters. Actually, quite interestingly enough, though, there was a house across the street that was on the news because they were growing pot in the house.
Wow.
So, yeah, they turned it into... I don't know the colloquialisms for grow house. There we go.
Oh,
grow
okay.
house. I've seen enough Weeds episodes. yeah, so they turned the house into a grow house, but I think that only shows how non-ghetto my neighborhood is. Because if I learned anything from TV is that grow houses tend to be in nicer neighborhoods because less right. cops
yeah, that
tend
makes
to
a lot of
circulate
sense.
There. So
yeah, and you know, we would like to thank the Showtime Network for the television program Weeds because it did provide Jenny with an education. I would like to thank the Showtime Cable Network for introducing me to the movie Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold, just so everybody knows that.
I am very disappointed that I did not know about this.
Yes. In fact, I do want to say that perhaps we should put a link on our webpage to...
I can do that.
Okay, there's going to be a link to my... online review of Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold. I wrote it several years ago, but it's an important film in cinema history, and also my review of it is something that's very, very important. So that's something that I'll make sure that we get up on the website. Jenny's trying to punch it up right now. But
yeah,
it's not coming up.
I'm very disappointed that I searched for Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold serial review, and nothing that looks like you wrote.
Oh, no, it's going to happen.
Is there.
In fact, do you think that it's something that I should read to everybody on the show? It's not a very long review.
But, all right, you can read it. I'm interested. I don't even... Oh, that's because you did it under Pumpy. But,
oh, that's right.
I'm actually quite interested because, shockingly, I have not seen this film.
Okay.
And I don't know what that means... for me as a movie buff. I'm sort of disappointed in myself.
Yes, as well you should be. So I'm going to go ahead and read my review, and we'll link to it on the webpage also after the show. But this is my review. I wrote it. I'm just looking for the date on screen. I wrote it on May 23rd, 2000. So it has now been over 14 years since
right.
I wrote this review.
So I sort of want to start out with a couple of facts. In 2000, I was a whopping 10 years old.
I didn't need to do that.
So shockingly, that is probably why I did not know about this film. For some reason, I feel like my mom would have been like, I don't know if this is appropriate for children. Also, yeah. I'd like to note that I believe Cyril has given the film 4 stars.
4 stars.
4 stars. That's quite high. And he named it "She's Big, She's Bad, She's Blonde."
Exactly. Yes.
And his pros for the film are childish and strange enough to be original.
Indeed.
And cons are require a, and he put in parentheses, large temporary drop in maturity level to appreciate.
That is right. But when you hear the review, I think that even if you don't think you'd have an interest in watching Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold, you may after hearing my review of it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to take about 2 minutes to just read the review that I wrote.
I'm excited.
May 23rd, 2000. Maybe bigger really is better. I've seen a few movies that have the sole purpose of shamelessly displaying half-naked women who dance or shake or something. Most of those films turn out to be stinkers. I must say, though, that Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold really isn't that bad. No, it's not high art. Besides, wasn't high art an Ally Sheedy movie? But it is far better than whatever Corey Haim is producing this week. Demolition University, anyone? By the way, side note, rest in peace, Corey Haim. J.J. North, not to be confused with the guy who played TV's Dennis the Menace, plays a model who is very eager to be on the cover of a men's magazine. When she gets to the photo shoot on the beach, she feels that she can't compete with the other contending models. She needs a solution fast. She drinks a secret potion that is supposed to make her grow a couple of inches. In the world of modeling, taller is better. Sure enough, she's a bit taller the next day. The photographer loves her now. Hey, if one sip can get the photographer that happy, why not drink the whole container? Poof! JJ is now 60 feet tall. Dynamite! Of course, now her clothes don't fit her anymore, and a girl has to bathe, so a makeshift basin is made up for her, about the size of a grain silo. And now the naked woman can get wet. From the outset, the movie promises this sort of treatment, and it has the guts to deliver. That's not all, though. If the movie were just an excuse to get a super-sized soaking supermodel, which incidentally is the number 3 combo at McDonald's this summer, it wouldn't have anything extra to make it stand out. I mean, my personal TV is only 13 inches wide. Remember, this was 14 years ago. My personal TV is only 13 inches wide. I don't care if the woman is 6 feet or 60, she's going to look the same to me. This is where the fun part comes in. When one of the other models discovers the secret to being tall, she figures that she needs it. She wants to be on that cover too, you know. Can you guess what's next? One fall extra tall free for all. The big girls duke it out for supermodel supremacy. Throw in a giant animal, a riot in the streets, and pudgy policemen trying to stop the oversized madness, and you've got a thrilling conclusion for the ages. Honestly, the combination of these things makes for some very bizarre and hilarious imagery. It's actually memorable, and it's not just because of the women. There are more laughs in this film than many of the mainstream comedies that are released today. It may be lowbrow, poorly done sight gags most of the time, but it works for this film. When you're competing with Great Bikini Off-Road Car Chase and Body Wash from Babeland 2, you need to differentiate yourself from the others. This film does it, and it does it in ultra-cheesy style. Obviously, this movie is not for everyone, but it's just so bad that it's actually good. It doesn't take itself seriously at all, and it doesn't even rely on nudity. There's relatively little to be entertaining. It just throws in so many funny, absurd images around the simple notion that a woman drinks a potion that makes her really tall so she can be on the cover of a magazine and has to pull someone's hair and save a genetically engineered rodent to earn some professional respect for herself, her peers, and her world. You can't get much more straightforward than that.
So, first of all, a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was very well written. I am a little bit concerned about your extensive knowledge in this genre. you seem to cite several films and sort of critique them against each other.
Yes. Yes, there's a nice reference to high art, which I'll tell you, back in 2000, that reference was amazingly funny because it was actually an Ally Sheedy movie that was very serious, and I made a reference to it.
Ha ha.
Sorry, you were 10.
I was 10. And that's part of the reason why I felt the need to sort of state that up front, because I would not understand pretty much any of this other than the model trying to grow 60 feet so that she could be the centerfold of a magazine.
Yeah, that's exactly what the movie is about. I do recommend it. It is out on DVD. I have a copy. I mean, if you want to borrow my copy of the DVD, you know, please feel free to reach out to us on, you know, on Twitter at PencilsDownPod. You can email us, PencilsDownPodcast@gmail.com. Or you can also reach out to us on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/PencilsDown. And I'm happy to lend out my copy of Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold. Right now we're looking to
see. Oh my goodness.
It's not even on Netflix?
I think they created another one, though.
Oh my.
Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader is on Netflix.
Wow. Okay.
Surprisingly, Netflix only thinks I'm going to give it less than, so only one star. I'm surprised that it's letting me have one star. Right,
yes. Maybe I'll watch this tonight. I don't know.
I'm very interested. I have no idea. If somebody watches it, you feel free to watch it and review it and let us know how it is.
yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, I will say about this Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold that I had the DVD in my house sitting on the mantle in one of the rooms of the house, and my mother-in-law came to visit. So she comes to visit, and I mean, I'll say this. My mother-in-law traveled 400 miles to visit me and my wife. So she makes the trip. She comes into the house, and she's walking through the house trying to get to the kitchen or something, and she notices this DVD sitting on the mantle, and she picks it up, holds it up, and actually had the nerve to ask, whose is this?
Mine.
I mean, you know, so the choices were her daughter or me, and she knows me. That should not have even been a question.
It really shouldn't have.
Right, yeah, that's like asking, who does this mustache wax belong to? That's probably me. Certainly not my wife. Certainly not.
Yes.
I want to make that very clear. More than likely, it's mine.
So Cyril's sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, so this is a very strange topic for me. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what to even say. Thank you. Hey. I've never felt so awkward speaking to you, and we've had really weird conversations.
I know, yeah.
So I don't understand how this is happening.
Yes, I mean, I thank you for just bringing up the TV show Weeds, because that's what led to this, because I originally watched that movie on Showtime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't think about Showtime. You mentioned the Showtime show, and then it led to Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold.
So that's actually one of my favorite games to play, and you know from talking to me that I've actually been pretty good about it on this show, that, like, whenever we're usually talking, you'll say something and then mid-sentence I'll stop you and yes, completely redirect you into something completely different.
Correct.
And it's sort of like, how in the world did you get there?
Yes.
And I love playing that game where when people ask me, like, how did you get there? And I'm like, well, I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
Right? And I could, like, backtrack exactly how I got there. And it's just, like, pretty crazy sometimes, the jumps that your brain can make.
Right, exactly. And it does make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, in hindsight.
Well, yours makes logical sense.
Strangely enough, yeah, yours usually don't.
Yeah.
I don't know how we get to where we're going. It's basically like getting on a boat and ending up in the middle of a Target store or something, you know. I mean, you don't get to Target on a boat, but it's like we
Target!
Get
Target.
Target. She just said Target poop to me, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to make that very clear. She just said Target poop to me. There's a reason for it. I mean, I'm not going to leave you in suspense. I was in Target last week, and my wife sent me there with this list of things that I was supposed to purchase. So, I mean, I'm really bad with finding stuff in the store that is not what I'm looking for. So I probably spent about half an hour in Target to find 8 things. And I
that
wandered all over the store.
That is quite unfortunate.
It is, yes.
I mean, the store is big, but not that big.
Right, yeah. And I mean, I was going all over the place trying to collect this stuff. So
may I inquire as to what exactly you were trying to find?
Well, I mean, you
that
know,
was so difficult that it took half an hour to find.
I mean, you know, I can't remember everything, but there were things like, oh, wow, there was something that was called like a bottle brush that apparently you use to clean the inside of bottles. I don't know, but they had it at Target.
So where did you begin your search?
The automotive section.
The automotive,
yeah.
The
yeah.
automotive section, not,
right.
not the section that said cleaning.
No. I went right to the automotive section. Couldn't find anything I wanted there or that she wanted. Yeah.
Right. I can't fathom why. But anyways, continue to the
picture. Okay, I also looked by the shoelaces, and it wasn't there either.
There's a shoelaces section?
There is, yes.
This
so,
is new.
See? Exactly. You got to explore. also not in electronics, but... So I got most of the things on the list, and the last thing on the list that I was going to try to find was toilet paper. Simple enough. I bought toilet paper at Target while I've been there with her before. I know where it is.
All right.
Okay. So I just had to get back from where the bottle brush actually was, which was not near the toilet paper, over to the toilet paper. So as I'm walking through the aisle in Target, I hear one of the associates talking into his walkie-talkie. So he picks up the walkie-talkie and I hear it go beep. And then, well, I'll put it this way. I learned from this experience that Target must not have a code for someone pooped on the floor. I say this because the associate spoke into his radio, someone pooped on the floor.
So I have two takeaway messages from this.
Yes.
So one, you had posted this on Facebook and somebody had responded saying, I work at Target. There is a code. It's brown.
Right.
So maybe either... So this made me think of two thoughts. Either one, it was a new employee and they didn't know these new codes. And it was obviously, they were like, poop, 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 poop. Can't think of the color. I'm just going to say it. It's probably faster.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, I'm sorry. I got lost on that thought because I don't understand how that would happen. Like brown, poop.
Right. I know.
Obviously the code is brown.
Sure. Poop. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Code brown.
Code brown. Or so the only other possible solution is that in fact it was diarrhea.
Right.
And they were, it was not just, you know, a drop of poop on the floor. It was just smothered all over the place.
Yes.
And the person was permanently traumatized and they just, they couldn't process.
Well, I can understand that that would happen because it traumatized me to the point that I chose not to get the toilet paper. I just kept going. I left Target without getting the toilet paper.
Which is interesting because I think that the poop would have reminded you
right.
that
yes,
you
exactly.
needed toilet paper.
Yes.
Like, what was I getting? I don't know. He was just talking about poop. What could right. I possibly need? I don't know. I'm just going to keep going.
Well, see, what happened at that point was as soon as I heard it, and it was down one of the side aisles, so it wasn't directly in front of me as I was walking through, but... I walked right past the aisle where this incident had occurred, and I figured, okay, I'm just going to keep moving. I don't want to stand close enough where I might smell anything. I don't really need to see the result of this. I've heard what went on, and I heard another customer talking to him, so I knew it had actually happened. But as I kept moving toward the toilet paper
was
still,
it a poop explosion?
It sounded from their reactions that it might have been a poop explosion, but... As I was walking toward the toilet paper, which was toward the exit to the store and to the register, so I didn't have to divert, I looked down.
Evasive maneuvers.
Right. I looked down and saw that apparently somebody who had walked ahead of me had stepped in it and had
Aww.
Left a trail. There were footprints
Aww.
On the floor.
See, this is why I walk looking at the floor. So some people are like, look up, stand tall. Practice your self-esteem. And I'm like, yes, my self-esteem is low, but not that low.
Right.
I look at the floor because I, one, trip over everything.
Yeah.
And two, I don't want to step and poop and track it all over the place. Like, these are
Precisely.
Things you need to, you know, if you're not looking at the floor. I mean, I guess maybe if I had better peripheral vision, but I don't. So
yeah.
I look at the floor when I walk.
And I started looking at the floor. I'm glad that I looked at the floor right at that point when I discovered that, because it was right then that I'm like, okay, this is going to travel like throughout the entire store, so I don't even want to turn off this path where I can see directly in front of me. There's nothing on the floor. I'm just going to stay on this straight path toward the registers. So I did not get the toilet paper due to that.
Hmm.
But yeah, very painful. But normally I tend to be kind of oblivious to that sort of thing. So I'm glad I heard the guy on the radio talking about it. I'll give you an example. And again, you know, it's like, how do we get onto these topics? But you know, this one's going to make perfect sense.
All right.
Okay. So when I was, I don't know, probably about 20, 21, I was on my way to school and I was taking the bus. And I was standing at a bus stop outside a
twerking.
Convenience store. I was twerking outside a convenience store at a bus stop. And by the way, back then, this was probably sometime around, I guess, 1997, 98 or so.
Right. So one, revolutionary. Everyone
yes.
is attributing twerking to Miley Cyrus.
Right.
But actually, in all realism, it's actually associated to Cyril.
Yes.
And if we're being completely honest, it actually isn't.
There's
actually some research articles, and it's quite funny and quite interesting, that it's actually twerking was originated as a Welsh dance.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so...
What?
I would have... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so now what this means is we really need that one Welshman that we have in our life demonstrate this twerking dance. But yeah, so apparently it was a Turkish style dance, and I forget what holiday, and I feel really bad because right now I don't remember all the details, except when I learned about this dance, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to remember this fact.
Right.
Because we know somebody who's Welsh. And it would be really funny that the first sort of twerking style dancing came from.
Okay, so I was the second person to twerk, the first in the United States back in the late 90s, at a bus stop in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I was in front of a convenience store. So I'm waiting for the bus to show up, and there were probably four or five other people waiting for the bus as well, but I was standing like near the curb, and most of the other people were standing back near the store. So I'm waiting for the bus, and I hear this sound behind me, and I couldn't quite tell what I was hearing, but I was just standing out on the on the sidewalk, so it could have been any noise from anywhere, but I just kept waiting for the bus. The noise continued for about 5 minutes, and again, I'm not really totally aware of what's going on, but I just catch it's behind me. So then I decide, okay, I'm tired of standing in the sun. I'm going to go get some shade and walk back under the awning of the convenience store. And then I turn around, and upon turning around, I notice exactly what the cause of the sound was. For 5 solid minutes, somebody had been standing about 4 feet behind me, vomiting on the ground for like 5 solid minutes.
And oh my gosh, this reminds me of another story, but continue.
So, that's disturbing. So, I look on the ground, I'm like, well, okay, I'm not going to walk back toward the store. I will stay where I am. And then I turn back around and continue waiting for the bus. And then I heard the sounds again, but at this point I figured, okay, I think I know what's going on. I'm not going to turn around and see what's happening. And then the bus showed up a couple minutes later, and I just never turned around again. So somehow, I, at that time, in the late 90s, I don't think that would apply to me now, but in the late 90s, I was the kind of twerking man who could stand on the sidewalk, have someone vomit behind him for 5 minutes straight, and I would have absolutely no idea.
So I think I have found the reason why the man was vomiting. And you know what it is.
Yes.
It was because of your twerking.
That would do it, yes. Well, it was too new, you know. He wasn't ready.
He was. I mean, let's be honest. Nobody today is ready for your twerking.
That's right. The building ain't big enough for this.
Twerking in general. We already posted the link for the twerking lady. But anyway, so back to vomiting continuously. So the other day I was really stressed at work. So I sent a message to Zero and said, Zero, we're going for a walk. Because if not, I'm going to strangle someone quite violently.
Yes.
So we went for a walk and Zero decided that the way he was going to cheer me up was to tell me about the Steelers game this week.
Yes.
And I forgot the name of it, but it was quite hilarious.
Yes, yes. So some of you may be aware that there's a famous play in Steelers history from the 70s called the Immaculate Reception. You can look that up. Franco Harris caught the ball. But yes, the Immaculate Reception, any football fan knows.
Which is not me, which is why I did not know story.
But certainly everybody in Pittsburgh where we are, they definitely know. Everybody who's from Pittsburgh knows the Immaculate Reception. But what happened on the Monday Night Football game this week is now being referred to on the internet. I've seen people refer to it as the Immaculate Projection. And I would say that's about right considering what the national television audience of Monday Night Football saw occur on the field that night.
Which now, I think this is the first time I've ever been disappointed that I did not catch a Steelers game. Usually I make it a point to do anything but watch a Steelers game.
Yes.
And I think I'm truly disappointed this time that I missed this.
Yeah, normally that's the kind of thing that I really don't like to watch. I mean, that's the kind of thing that would actually, sort of disturb me or gross me out. But I was laughing so hard at this. And you know, again, it was Monday Night Football. On Monday nights, I'm in a bowling league. So I was bowling, and the game was on the TV, you know, being the Pittsburgh area, everybody wanted to see the game. And I was the only person who actually saw this happen around the lanes I was bowling on. So, you know, normally it's not the kind of thing that I would want to call out. You know, usually we're watching the game, and I'll say, oh, somebody just scored a touchdown, whatever. In this case, though, as soon as somebody would bowl and come over and look at the TV, I'm like, that dude just puked on the field and it was hilarious. And they looked at me like I was nuts. Believe me, I know what it looks like when someone looks at me like I'm nuts because I get that look all the time.
Right. I'm surprised that you could tell the difference.
Yeah,
I think you'd be more shocked about, oh, look, that person's not looking at me like I'm nuts.
I know,
would be more of an exclamation I would expect out of you.
That is very true, yes. Yeah. So that was what happened. And that was my way of trying to cheer Jenny up yesterday to tell her the story about the vomiting football player on Monday Night Football. And you know what? It worked, damn it. It worked.
It did. It did. I went back to my desk and I was happy for about 2 seconds. And then I read my email and I immediately sunk back down into despair. But it was okay because for some reason at the end of the day, I decided to visit Cyril again. And I sat at my desk and I just looked at Twitter. Or I sat at Cyril's desk and I just looked at Twitter. And I saw probably the most amazing picture of Benedict Cumberbatch I've ever seen in my life. And we're going to post it on our Facebook or... Yeah, I can post it on Facebook as well. I'll put it on the website as well. And it's this amazing picture in which Benedict Cumberbatch is literally just standing there with the straightest face humanly possible. And then just a bunch of women all around him taking selfies with him. And he is not even, like, he's not batting an eye. He's not smirking, like nothing. And he's not even looking at them. Right. It is like they're not, he's standing by himself and... He doesn't even recognize that there's a bunch of people around him. And every time I look at this picture, it's really hard not to laugh. I think the only thing that's preventing me from laughing is trying to explain this and just get so excited.
Yes, I've been trying to picture this, people. Yes. Yes, I mean, you know, he's wearing a suit and he's standing there looking completely stoic. And, you know, he's surrounded by all these women who look incredibly happy to be in his presence, which I understand. I would be just as happy. But... He has no reaction to any of this.
I love, actually, Benedict Cumberbatch fans. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of Sherlock. I don't know if I'm necessarily a fan of Benedict Cumberbatch, but I am definitely a fan of Sherlock. But I love what Benedict's fans sort of call themselves. And do you know what they call themselves?
What do they call themselves,
They
Jenny?
Call themselves Cumberbitches.
Well, then you can brand me a Cumberbitch.
It's such an unfortunate name. So actually in one of an interview somebody had conducted with Benedict, he stated that he felt it was a very unfortunate name and that wish they had higher self-esteem and sort of considered themselves better than to call themselves bitches. So he came up with a new name for them.
Oh, really?
And I like it. I don't know if they actually use it, but okay. I actually like it better than Cumber Bitches, and that is the Cumber Collective.
Ah, the Cumber Collective. Yes.
I sort of like it. I like it. It has a sort of more prestige to it.
Sure.
Another group of fans that I like the name of. I forget his first name, but his last name is Pine. And
Chris Pine. Chris Pine.
Yes, you are correct. I wasn't 100% sure if it was Chris, and I was like, okay. Yeah. So, anyways, so Chris Pine, his fans are called Pine Nuts.
Oh, of course. I don't know why I wasn't ready for that. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I sort of like right, the whole celebrity thing first began with naming couples and sort of joining their names together. And now fan groups are creating names for themselves, which I think is quite of interesting and kind of weird. And it sort of shows, like, as Benedict Cumberbatch sort of noted, it sort of shows the self-esteem level of your fans.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I love you, Benedict Cumberbatch, but I don't love me.
Essentially what which is saying. Why he gives the stoic face and doesn't recognize them.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that's probably not helping their self-esteem issues.
No, not at all. Yeah, they're like, please just look at me. Just notice me, Benedict Cumberbatch.
But
notice me.
They're so eager in the picture. It's like, I can't stop laughing.
They are.
I have to keep hiding it from myself. I can't look at it. It's too funny.
Right. What I am trying to do, what we're both trying to recruit people to recreate this image, you know, with me in the center.
Yes.
And, you know, being surrounded by people.
Thank you for reminding me why I brought it up.
Right.
Right. So basically we're trying to – so we obviously have Cyril. But I actually don't have a problem with men being included in this picture.
No, of course not. That'd be great.
But we would like to really try and recreate this picture.
Yes.
So if I think we might be able to, like, Photoshop people in. So if you take a picture of yourself trying to take a selfie with Cyril or you know, or maybe we can set something up and sort of meet people somewhere and obviously take this picture because this is the most amazing picture ever and it obviously needs to be replicated.
Yes. That's right. So, yeah, please, we have Photoshop experts. This is a great Photoshop opportunity. So please go ahead and, you know, submit anything that's going to fit in with this. But look at the picture first.
Right.
You know, don't get any ideas without looking at the picture first. You need to see it.
Yeah. So we'll definitely – we'll post it up everywhere. I don't know. All of the social media – all networks that we have that are getting tiring to list out. So I always let Cyril do it because he's faster at speaking and more cohesive in speaking.
That's exactly right. But we are going commercial, ladies and gentlemen. We are going commercial.
We are going commercial. Right, although our logo has been promised to us like 5 times.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, there's a certain message that goes out to a certain person that certainly needs to step up and actually deliver.
Where my logo at? Where my logo at?
She's like claimed to make it like 2 weeks ago. What is it? I don't know. She's going to kill us.
Yes, she is.
All right, so we're out of time for this week. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you join us next week. Just signing out for today.
That's right, yes. Adios. Have fun, everyone.